Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Great show this week. We'll talk duck numbers and also something brand new for the management of waterfowl in the Dakotas and Minnesota. We're talking the Central and Mississippi flyways. There's some new processes, I guess maybe is the best word for it, maybe. Some new processes in place for how waterfowl is going to be managed in these flyways. We'll talk to John Devney from Delta Waterfowl about it here in just a couple of minutes. Also, deer in the Southeast, how's it going? How much CWD is down there? How are the regulations? Taylor Besters, the current president of the Bluffland Whitetails Association, he'll get us caught up with deer hunting in the southeast part of Minnesota and just where we're at with all that. Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort will check in with a fishing and a waterfowl report from the big lake in North Dakota known as Devil's Lake. And Joe Henry will check in from Lake of the Woods Tourism to let us know what's going on the Rainy River and Lake of the Woods as well. Now, this week's show brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. If you want to plan a trip, maybe try to get up there yet this fall or get out there this winter, you can go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com to get all the information, resorts, lodges, guides, outfitters, things like that, whether you want to hire somebody or do it yourself. Also brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. That's right, the TV show that I am a part of. It's Prairie Sportsman, the new season on Pioneer Public. Starts up January 27. Very excited about it. Find us on Facebook or prairiesportsman.org. Show's also brought to you by Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake. They got these things called snow bears. If you want to do some ice fishing in comfort and chase around jumbo perch, and to chase jumbo perch, you got to be mobile, and you can't be more mobile than a snow bear. Than the snow bears at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. They're comfortable. They're warm. I fished in 47 below zero degree temperature out of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights in a t-shirt. It was great. Caught a bunch of fish. HayBaleHeights.com for the website for more information for them. The show is also brought to you by the Sturgeon Spectacular, Lake Winnebago. This is such a cool event. It's just about the only place in the world that you can spear a sturgeon. They got jumbo sturgeon. They found like a 250-pounder or some 240 pounds, 250 pounds. I can't remember. They figured it was 125 years old. Unbelievable. Lake Winnebago, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin celebrates the sturgeon and the sturgeon spearing season. Even if you don't get a tag, the deadline to get a tag this year was October 31st. If you didn't get a tag, it's a fun event for the whole family. Bunch of events, live music, snow sculpting competition, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Competition is taking place over there. These guys with big old kites on skis and skates, they go cruising across the lake at high speeds. That's all going on. Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, Lake Winnebago, February 5th through the 10th. The Sturgeon Spectacular. Go to fdl.com/SS. We're going to be joined by John Devney now, the Senior Vice President, Delta Waterfowl, here on Sporting Journal Radio. John, have you had much time to get out and chase some ducks and geese around?
No, unfortunately not, Brett. I've had to be way more reliant on reports. I was a little worried. We got so bloody cold there in mid-October. I was worried I was going to get shut out.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I got really worried. And in fact, I made the comment on the radio show for a couple of weeks there in a row saying it might be a real short fall for us and might be a year for more pheasant hunting than than waterfowl hunting. But then the weather stabilized a little bit and we'll see what happens in the next week or so. But I think the next couple of weeks could be pretty good, John.
Yeah, I think you can too. I mean, I talked to a really trusted source up at Devil's Lake here a couple nights ago, and he said he's never seen more diving ducks on Devil's Lake.
Really?
And, you know, I've sort of been seeing nice pods of divers around, and there's certainly I wouldn't say we're at peak abundance for snow geese, but you know, we certainly have lots of snow geese in sort of north central North Dakota right now. And so, I think we're setting up good, and it looks like it's going to get pretty bloody cold. I've been sort of most paying attention to Manitoba, but, you know, what's happening in Manitoba is likely happening in Saskatchewan. There's going to be some pretty cold temps the tail end of next week where we're going to get cooler, but I don't think we're at any huge risk of getting frozen. So maybe we'll set up for one of those scenarios, which has happened all too frequently, where we – all too infrequently in recent years, we chase the ducks out of Manitoba and Saskatchewan, get them in here for a little bit. Seems like we freeze within about 10 minutes after they freeze. And so it'd be nice if we had a little gap between when we chase the birds from up north and had a little time with them here in North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota.
John Devney, our guest, Senior Vice President, Delta Waterfowl, Sporting Journal Radio. If you remember, oh boy, it must have been 4 or 5 years ago, somewhere around there. I want to say it was like November 7th or November 9th. We froze up here in western Minnesota. I remember driving, I was working as a waterfowl guide, and I was driving up the west side of Lac Parle Lake, and I had a big crew of clients going out, and we were all excited because, you know, there were a pile of birds around. And I remember looking, it was a full moon that morning as we were driving out in the dark, and I could see the lake look very still. And I could see the moon reflecting, and I didn't see any waves or anything. And I remember looking at the other guy in the truck going, uh-oh. I think everything froze up last night. And sure enough, we ended up having to kick open a slough. We had a punt and find a new place to go. And we kicked open a small hole in a slough and ended up shooting one gadwall that morning. And it was a cold morning. And that was, we had a few geese that always kind of hang around this area in western Minnesota. But for the most part, our season was just about over.
Yeah, and it can, you know, and it seems like the pattern nowadays is those birds stay pretty fat and happy up in Canada, and they got lots of food and not much hunting pressure, and if the weather will allow it, they'll linger up there as long as they possibly can, and if we get one of those real deep cold fronts where we freeze at the same time they do, we can watch them fly over, you know, just wave after wave after wave of birds, and unfortunately I've seen that too many years, the last few, where off they go right over the top of us and never stop. So it's shaping up a little better. Again, it's at least the forecast, the 10-day has it being pretty cold up there and temperatures being fairly moderate here. Maybe we can get the perfect storm. We can have a really nice, long November duck season.
Well, and one thing that you have going for you that I wish we had it here in western Minnesota, being along the Minnesota River, we do have some water that stays fairly open year-round, and there's always some geese that hang around, and there's always some big wads of mallards that come through in December, and we always sit there and watch them while we're chasing the geese around, hoping that one year they'll extend our duck hunting season over here a little bit for us. And you guys have that Missouri River over there where you see birds stick around late in the season. You get to hunt them a lot longer. And John, I know we've talked about it a number of times here over the years on the radio show, but for us in the Mississippi Flyway, I mean, for you watching from kind of, not really on the outside, but kind of on the outside, being in the Central Flyway, when you look over at the Mississippi Flyway, do you ever see them actually extending, giving us a 70-day season or a 65-day season at least over here?
Well, one of the things that's going on is there's a process going on right now that's referred to sort of, there's a more complicated name for it, but it's called the double looping process that the two interior flyways of Mississippi and Central are working on, where they're going back and looking at harvest and looking at hunter preferences and how they can twist this knob and move this lever to see what they can do with hunting regulations. And, you know, the challenge is if you start adding days, you start to get to the point where your harvest rates, just as a general rule, harvest season length is what drives duck harvest way, way, way more than bag limits do. So one of the questions they're having is they're, again, flipping this lever and dialing this knob and trying to find out, is there a sweet spot where you can maybe increase a few more days and sort of maintain or maybe do things like, you know, look, go back and look at how we're handling, you know, species like pintail or redheads as an example. But it's all got to be done in sort of in unison. And by the nature of the birds that migrate to the Mississippi and Central Flyway, they have to work together on it because those stocks are shared, obviously. There is a move, it's been a fairly significant move, from the mid-latitude states, think Iowa, especially southern Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and places like that, where they'd like to see a longer season because, you know, the nature of where they are in the universe is they have the opportunity for some early duck shooting, and then parts of the state may have opportunities for early late duck shooting. And obviously you can accommodate some of that through zones and splits, but you know, there is a conversation going on about, you know, what could duck seasons look like in the future. And I expect that's going to be resolved here in the next year or so.
I mean, maybe this is wishful thinking a little bit, but when you have teal seasons, you know, early teal seasons in different states or around the country, couldn't you have some sort of late season mallard, you know, like a December mallard season? I mean,
Well, the difference between a blue-winged teal and a mallard is there is almost no harvest on blue-winged teal because they get out of the places where the super black eagles are before the season starts generally. Sure. And mallards are shot from, you know, from start to end. So, you know, the reason we have special teal seasons is because we know that the harvest rate on those birds is really, really low. And I'm not saying that the harvest rate on mallards is over the top high, because it's not. But you start getting into late seasons, especially in places where you have lots of duck hunters, i.e. the Mississippi Flyway, and then you could start maybe getting your harvest rates up a little too high.
Do you think that there's, especially in Minnesota, do you think there's that many guys that would chase mallards in December? I mean, obviously the hardcore guys love it. That's their late November, you know, when they can get out there and chase the mallards in the cornfields. That's their favorite time to go. But do you think there would be that much pressure on them?
No, but it doesn't take that many great hunters to shoot a bunch of ducks. You know, especially that kind of hunting, because you and I both know what it is, right? It's big, equipment intensive, lots of pain and suffering, but when it happens, it happens. And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, you may be only having 10 to 15% of your population actually doing it, but man, those guys are typically really good at it.
They can shoot. Yeah, for sure.
They can shoot and they got the equipment. They're going to put the time in. And the birds are concentrated.
Yeah, yeah. All right. John Devney, Senior Vice President, Delta Waterfowl, with us here on Sporting Journal Radio. I want to take a quick break, but John, if you can stick around, I want to ask you a few more questions about waterfowl hunting, if that's possible.
Perfect.
All right, more with John coming up. Plus, we'll get a fishing report from Lake of the Woods. We'll talk Devil's Lake. And we're also going to talk about chronic wasting disease in deer hunting. It's deer hunting. We haven't even talked about deer hunting yet. And pretty much the entire state's getting ready to slap on some blaze orange here. But we will talk about hunting down in the southeast, coming up with Bluffalo Whitetails here in a little bit on Sporting Journal Radio. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle, here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in to the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors on the Sporting Journal Radio Network by podcasting with your podcast app or iTunes or listening on demand at Sporting Journal Radio. Talking waterfowl with John Devney right now, Senior Vice President, Delta Waterfowl. We talked a little bit about potentially the future of waterfowl hunting, say in Minnesota or the Dakotas, things like that. And every year, John, over here, we talked about lengthening the season or different bag limits on different birds, things like that, motorized decoys, bag limits on Canada geese. And for a while there, you talk to some of the guys involved, Steve Quartz or some of those other guys, and they say, yeah, we're actually pretty close maybe to making this change or that change. And yet we really haven't seen anything change. Do you think, at least for Minnesota or maybe where you're at in North Dakota, do you think there's any other big changes coming down the line or maybe some minor changes coming?
Well, I think this double looping is, I think this has the sort of biggest impact, right? Because it's it'll be both Central and Mississippi flyway wide. And at least the thinking right now is it's going to afford sort of more opportunities to states to accommodate the needs of their duck hunters. I mean, that's the objective. And with the entirely appropriate other objective of making sure we have abundant ducks over the long term, right? And that's the dance that they're dancing, is how do we balance the needs of hunters with the needs of the ducks? And that's an appropriate and hard tension. And I really do, Brett, I mean, I think this is a biggie, and not many folks know about it because it's incredibly tedious, it's incredibly slow, it's incredibly hard, and it's a big lift technically. For the folks that are working on all the models and trying to, evaluate this trade-off versus that trade-off. It's an incredible amount of work. I think it's slower than I think a lot of people would like to see it being done, but I think that's the nature of the business. I mean, you have one part of one flyway saying, well, we want to be considered, and now everybody has to go back and recalibrate and consider that against the backdrop of all the rest of the considerations. And it's big, meaty, technical work. And I guess it was sort of ever thus, but I am hopeful that it's going to draw to a close here. And hopefully, probably not for next duck season, but I'm hopeful that for the following duck season, those new rules and guidelines will be in place.
All right, let's talk about that. And everybody likes to be armchair quarterbacks and criticize or want this or that. But I will say, I think things are pretty good. We've got good duck numbers. I like the season splits that we've got here in Minnesota. I wish they were, I don't like us starting the third week in September. I wish we were pushed back a little bit. But then again, we did shoot 60 ducks that opening weekend in September this year. So it was pretty good. I can't really complain about it. But this is, and I'm a guy that likes to think I'm paying most attention to waterfowl regulations and potential changes. This is the first I've heard of this double looping process. So when you talk about, so it's like a new management strategy that's kind of combining efforts for the Central and the Mississippi Flyway?
Well, it really is, we have this very complicated means of setting waterfowl regulations. And when I say complicated, I mean, I'm like filling up a blackboard with mathematical models, kind of complicated.
Sure.
And I'm not going to start to even try to describe it. But what I think is entirely appropriate is folks are saying, listen, we've been under this regulatory process now since the mid-1990s. And what have we learned? And what's the opportunity to make tweaks? So basically, double looping refers to going back and sort of testing your fundamental objectives rather than the sort of, set regulations on an annual basis. This allows folks to sort of pull back and say, okay, here's what we've learned, here's what we know, and what can we tweak? And the tweaks that are being discussed are really tweaks, in my view, generally that are in alignment with what duck hunters and goose hunters want, and so really duck hunters in this case, and so it's not anything incredibly revolutionary, but I think it's an incredibly appropriate process to go through, because I think it gives the opportunity for the voice of the duck hunter to be heard, and I think it sort of gets the management community to go back and sort of look bigger at the at how we're managing duck populations and duck regulations than the annual regulation process that sort of just is the wheel that just keeps on turning.
So in essence, it's simplifying regulation changes and the ability to say, well, that didn't quite work. Let's try this without having to go through the traditional way of changing the regulations.
Well, no, this will essentially reset the framework for all regulations going forward until they choose to do it again.
Sure.
You know, because right now we've got a fairly prescriptive system. If you got this many May ponds and you got this many mallards, you get a 60-day season in the Mississippi Flyway. And they're saying maybe that package could be 65 days, or maybe instead of shooting four mallards, we can shoot five. And
yes,
what
please.
About redheads and pintails? You know, those sorts of questions are the sort of penetrating questions that they're digging into.
Okay. All right. And when do you think we'll hear more about how that process is going?
I think we're going to start to see some outcomes from it next year, is my hope. I mean, there's been a lot of good people, and Steve Kortz is one of them. A lot of good people, a lot of smart people have been working hard on this for a long time. And it's one of those things that seems at times to be the never-ending bureaucratic quagmire.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of good people doing really good work, and we just need it to sort of, we got to quit asking questions and start coming up with conclusions,
sure.
My assertion at this point.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, this has been fascinating. We could sit and talk about this whole show. Unfortunately, I got to get to some other guys here, but maybe we'll talk again here soon, because I love talking about this. And especially, I didn't expect to get some new information like this double looping process out there. I hadn't heard about that yet. So I appreciate you coming on, giving us the time today. And I hope you get out of the office a little bit and go chase some birds around.
Me too, my friend. Best of luck for the coming balance of the season.
Thank you. John Devney, Senior Vice President, Delta Waterfall. Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you.
All right, coming up, we'll talk Lake of the Woods, we'll talk Devil's Lake, and we'll also talk about whitetails down in the southeast and what they're doing about chronic wasting disease. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to that podcast and your podcast app on your phone, iTunes, or anywhere you can get podcasts. You should be able to find the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. I've had a lot of people ask me about the fight against chronic wasting disease in Minnesota, and specifically down in the southeast, because that's where the majority of the cases have popped up. And realistically, it's so weird when you think about Minnesota and just how diverse it is across the state as far as habitats and the biomes and things like that. And when you think about the prairie in western Minnesota and the rocky landscape in the northeast, and then you get down in the southeast, it's like a different world down there. And that's why it's maybe managed a little bit differently when it comes to whitetails. And we're going to find out just what's going on down there this year, how the fight against CWD is, and just what kind of a season hunters might expect with Taylor Bester. He's the current president of the Bluffland Whitetails Association. Taylor, thanks for being on the radio show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brett.
Is it going to be a good year for hunters in the southeast?
I think so. I mean, usually as early as the season is in November, you still have crops in. We're kind of sitting. There's a lot of corn in yet, but it's coming out quick. So
has it been
deer out and moving?
Has it been wet down there like it has been in other parts of the area?
It has. It had been. Yeah, we had a good streak there for probably 3 weeks, but the last week or so has been drying up, and the combines are everywhere.
I've seen a lot of big bucks taken around the area with youth hunters. How have the bow hunters fared down there?
It seems to be typical. You hear a couple of guys that have had their big bucks figured out, and they end up connecting. And it's funny you say that, because we just had a CWD positive that was a 170-inch buck.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what? Okay, so how many positive CWD cases have there been? I hadn't even heard about that one yet. How's CWD been this year down there?
This year, that would be our second positive. So we got one opening weekend, and that came from basically, we're calling it the hot zone, where all the positives keep popping up, kind of northeast of Preston.
Okay.
And, these two came from that same location.
What is the DNR doing about CWD down there, and what's different this year?
They've been doing their constant monitoring. They have the drop box at their location in Preston to drop your heads for testing. For Bluffland, we donated a 12x16 shed that people are able to quarter their deer out right at the site.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, it's gotten good response, and the DNR is pushing for quartering your deer only, and leaving the rest. They have a carcass dumpster on site, so that's pretty efficient.
Can you handled. Cape a deer there too, then, if you want one for the wall?
Yeah, and we also donated a tripod pulley hoist where you can hang your deer up and cape it real quick there. And if it's a trophy deer, they would like you to pull the cape off before you drop it into the box.
You
have to cape the face.
Okay. Taylor Bester's the current president, Bluffland Whitetails Association, southeastern Minnesota, joining us here on Sporting Journal Radio. Tell us more about Bluffland Whitetails Association. What do you guys do?
Yeah, Bluffland was formed, we just had our 20th anniversary. So 1998, a group of concerned hunters from the Zone 300 in southeast here thought that we could manage the deer in the area differently than the rest of the state. Like you had stated before, areas of Minnesota are so diverse. We feel that we could handle the management in 300 different than, say, the north or the far west. So they're based on the health and the balance of the deer herd. So.
And how do you think we're sitting right now, and do you think everything that should be done is being done?
Well, I would say that deer numbers are solid. The most complaints I've heard are from the public park of Forestville State Park. That got pretty hammered with the late season hunts that were implemented at the end of the year, mostly because the people could easily get on public land, and the private landowners, you know, seem to lack participation. And I think it might be because of information not getting to them.
Okay, that's the number one complaint I think I hear about the most is lack of communication or seeming lack of communication.
Yeah, and when we're trying to push any sort of group of information to get out there to maybe help explain to people why the DNR is doing what they're doing, we get a lot of kickback from people that maybe have done their bit of research, but maybe going and finding what they want to hear versus what's actually true. Because there's a lot of mixed information out there that may help other people's agendas that we've noticed. So we try and push through that and get the correct information out there that is factual.
Is there anything you would like to see implemented to help the deer herd or fight chronic wasting disease down there?
Well, with chronic wasting, we've had it around in the nation since like 67. And so that's, 50 years that we've known about it. And it just seems like we still don't know that much about it. So when I look at a disease that can spread from deer interaction, the best way to do that is to lower deer interactions and hence lower deer densities, which most people don't want to hear. But it's really the best viable option right now. Wisconsin had pushed for their Earn a Buck program a few years back, which is now shut down, but the data had shown that the positives they were getting was going down. And then when it got people started complaining to their legislatures and politics got involved and they shut it down, the percentage of positives just exponentially took off.
Man, it is such a tough subject, and it's a touchy one too for most people because there's so many people passionate about deer and deer hunting in Minnesota or Wisconsin for that matter. When you talk about, half a million plus people out there chasing whitetails around in the fall, it's a tough animal to manage in these states that care so much about these animals. But hopefully we can find that balance and find the right thing, because CWD is not good. We got to find the right way to try to slow it down or stop it completely. Would be nice. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but that'd be nice.
There's no doubt that people are passionate about it, and that's we try to spark conversation on our Facebook page to get the pulse of how people are feeling. And it's just, if we could get everybody on the same page to go at this as a group, I think we'd be a lot more successful.
Yeah. So tough to get everybody to agree, because they got their own, everybody has their own ideas, meat hunters, trophy hunters, whatever. But that's what I was going to ask you. So you're on Facebook, Bluffland Whitetails Association. You got a website. Where else can people find out more about you guys, maybe even become a part of the association?
Yeah, that Facebook has been our best. If you go onto our website, BluffandWhitetailAssociation.com, there'll be some information on there and a way that you can contact us to talk about joining.
I wish you luck this fall. Hopefully everything goes well. And let's talk again on the radio show, because I think we could talk about deer hunting in Minnesota and particularly the Southeast for for a long, long time. But that's all the time we got for this week. Taylor Bester, current president, Bluffland Whitetails Association down in the southeastern part of Minnesota. Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks, Brett. Let's do it again.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The Snow Bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. February 5th through the 10th in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Visit FTL.com for more information. That's FTL.com. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast and that podcast app on your telephone device that you carry around in your pocket. Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort joining us right now here on Sporting Journal Radio from Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Lucas, you're not in a combine for a change.
Well, I'm not, but we have people in combines today.
Were you able to get around in the fields pretty easily this fall, or did you have some issues?
Oh, we had a stall out for about 10 days, 2 weeks. We picked up about 6 inches of wet snow, and that held us up for a little bit, but things dried up, and we've had a nice run here the last 2 weeks to get things done.
What about, say, waterfowl hunters that are up there hunting around? Are they able to drive out into the fields where they can?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything dried up nice. There's a good number of birds. I see a lot of hunters out and about. There's a lot of snow geese, a lot of ducks, a lot of diver ducks out on the water.
You know, it's so funny. That's such a great waterfowl area. And I know when we were up there in, August, I think it was, I couldn't believe all the ducks that were around the lake. At that time, the local ducks, I can't imagine what it's like during the migration up there. And when people come up, I mean, do you get some guys that put in, you don't hear about guys using boats to hunt in North Dakota, period, very often. But do you get guys that put in and try to chase divers around on the lake?
Yeah, there's a fair amount of guys that are doing that. The field hunting, over the years has gotten tougher. And so we've kind of seen a transition of guys trying to get out on the water and get on some of those ducks versus the field hunting.
Sure. Lucas Mertens, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio with Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. And I've seen your Facebook page pretty active lately, Lucas, with piles of perch. With pictures of piles of perch on them.
Yeah, well, we're just trying to get everybody fired up for ice fishing. Those were all pictures from last year.
Oh, they were. Okay. All right.
Yep. And so we're just trying to get everybody fired up. It's not that far away. We're talking probably another month and a half, and we should be out on the water. Frozen water, hopefully.
Yeah, well, for a while there, I thought it was going to be a lot sooner than later.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to come early, but that's kind of typical of the way our falls have been the last 5 or 6 years. We usually get a snap sometime in October, and it gets wet and cold, and everybody kind of thinks, wow, it could be over with, and then it seems to straighten out, and we usually go into mid-November before we get real, real cold.
Now, you guys obviously have the snow bears, and man, that is such a great way to chase perch around on Devil's Lake, warm and comfortable, and especially when we were out there fishing, it was 47 below or whatever it was, and we were fishing in t-shirts in the snow bear and catching all kinds of fish. But when you get that first ice, do you guys kind of head out there on portables at all, or when you guys start going out for ice fishing?
Oh, no, pretty much we just wait till we get about a good 8 inches, and then we just go with the snow bears.
Okay.
That's kind of our niche on the lake. So that's just kind of what we do. We wait till there's enough snow for that, and usually right about Christmas time, then we get going real hard with the guiding. And we should have 5 snow bears running in the fleet this year.
Wow.
So, nice. You know, we can accommodate big groups, or, you know, if guys just got to, there's just a pair or 3, you know, we can do that too. So,
yeah. And, you were talking off the air a little bit that you're getting booked up for January already. So if people want to come up there and fish on one of these snow bears, they need to give you a call, don't they?
Yeah. I think that cold snap, I can just kind of look at the weather and I can kind of judge phone calls. When that cold snap came, it got people thinking about ice fishing a lot earlier this year.
Nice.
And, we really picked up, you know, a good portion of our schedule is full already, and so a lot of the other stuff is getting full. So guys that want to come up and are thinking about doing it, I just urge them to, you know, probably get on the phone and try to get their dates locked in a little earlier this year.
Well, and I know last time I checked, the forecast didn't look the greatest, but I'm hoping for a little bit more fall yet. No no offense, Lucas. I'd love to come up there and try to catch some fall fish out of the open water yet, maybe chase some ducks around a little. I don't know if we have enough fall left for me to be able to get up there. But if guys do want to get up and do some hunting, you got cabins they can stay in, right?
Yep, that's correct. We got the cabins. There's still a few guides hanging around if people want to go fishing. I know hunting, you know, deer hunting is coming up. That's a big part of North Dakota there. And I think everybody's looking forward to getting out and doing a little deer hunting and putting all these tractors away and then off to perch fishing.
And if people want to book a winter fishing trip or just find out anything else, where should they go to find out more info?
They can go to our website, haybaleheights.com. They can check out our Facebook page, or they can call me direct, 701-351-3130.
Lucas Mertens, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, now we're going to head up to that big lake up in northern Minnesota, the Walleye Factory, known as Lake of the Woods, and, of course, the river, the Rainy River, which is where I saw Joe Henry on Facebook on a live video the other day earlier this week. And we'll talk about how they did up there, because during this video, they were catching fish after fish after fish. But before we talk about walleyes, we got to talk deer this weekend, right? It's important to talk about deer this weekend. Joe joins us on the show right now. Joe, are you going to be in a deer stand this weekend, or are you going to be fishing?
You know what? I'm going to be in a deer stand. You know, I right now it's such a confusing time because we just had 150 in the river, and we got big fish. I mean, it's going. It's like, okay, game on. Yeah, it's deer hunting season, and deer hunting season, the gun season comes about once a year. There's traditions involved. I know for me, it's good to get out in the woods and just slow down and watch the chickadees, and I mean, there's so much to it that I'm gonna get out in the woods. This is sacred time.
Yeah, and honestly, it was for me too growing up. We usually did it in Wisconsin, in Northwest Wisconsin, but since we kind of sold our cabin up there, I guess. So I don't know if I might bow hunt a little bit this weekend. I haven't decided yet, but I might go fishing, Joe.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it wouldn't be bad. I'll tell you what, too. You're bow hunting. You know, one thing about bow hunting, I mean, you better get out there early in the weekend. You know how that goes. I mean, those deer are going to be moving around, people kicking them around. But one thing I've noticed, and maybe you have too, tell you, after that first day, with all the people in the woods, the shooting going on, those deer act very differently after day one, don't they?
Yeah, you pretty much, if you're going to bow hunt, you do it before the gun season, and then you wait until the end of December before you go back out there, generally.
Yep. Yep, that's a good motto. But yeah, fishing's in full swing. You know, I just wrote an article about, you know, the big walleyes that come during deer hunting. And so many times, you know, and I have to confess, every once in a while, I'll pull up my phone when I'm deer hunting and look at Facebook or something, and I see the 12, 13, sometimes 14-pound walleyes that are getting caught while, you know, I'm out in the woods. And it happens every year. I mean, right now is just a fantastic time to walleye fish if you want to you know, certainly catch numbers, but also have the chance at a, just a freaking monster.
Well, you, we talked about it a little bit. You were in the boat, what, with Greg Jones earlier this week on the Rainy?
Yeah, yeah. So had a chance to film an episode of Midwest Outdoors, you know, fall fishing on the Rainy River. And, you know, I'll tell you something, Brad. I'll tell you, this is the way the world works. You know, we split it up between, we had a small few hour window in the first evening when we got up there. And then the next day we had dedicated, well, that evening window, we caught some fish, but they were just, you know, that 14 inch variety, not really what you want for TV. We're out jigging some current out kind of in a main channel, some riffs, some sand riffs that go up and down. And, you know, we needed a 1 ounce jig and we just weren't getting quality. So the next day we tried a different spot down by the resorts and, we went into a kind of a key spot and we fished it for 20, 25 minutes, didn't get bit. I'm like, we got to roll, man. We got to get a show done today. So we put the boat on the trailer and went up river just to a couple spots that we thought, all right, let's try these spots, you know? And my goodness, the first spot we went to, we anchored up and before Gray even got baited, I lowered down with a jig and minnow and popped a walleye and I lowered down again and popped a pike, which I wasn't fighting, going for. But I mean, point was, there's activity there, there's life. And I had two fish in a minute and a half. Well, as the way the day turned out, we had over 100 fish.
Wow.
And we got a, you know, probably a 10-pounder, an 8-pounder, and some other kickers. Got some pike and some saugers. And but it was just one of those days where, you know, we're jigging over the side of the boat with a jig and a shiner. And if we wanted to pitch out on the edge of the current on the river, we could do that too and just kind of drag it in slow and we'll catch them that way also. It was just incredible. I mean, at one point in time, I went 5 for 5 for little casts.
You know, and,
but you saw that. You saw the Facebook Live video, and we were actually catching walleyes during the Facebook Live video.
Yeah, yeah, one after another. And it was great. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about fishing on the Rainy River earlier this week. I think it was on Wednesday. You know, and what you just described there, Joe, is, you know, a typical, maybe not a typical day fishing, but when you'd have to try a couple of different spots, you know, you might have to move around. You might not get them here. You might not get them using this color, but you switch to this and you move here and all of a sudden it starts to work. You figure out a pattern. That doesn't always get shown on the TV shows. And I know with Midwest Outdoors, they only have so much time and you have 100 fish. So I don't know if they'll show that part of it. But even on a place like Lake of the Woods, you have to be mobile a little bit, don't you?
You got to find the fish, yeah. And, you know, I cringe sometimes because I'll hear about people that maybe aren't real avid anglers. And they come to the river and they go drive out in front of the resort and they anchor up and they sit there for 3 days. And, you know, if those fish are going through that area, which they do a lot, that's great. But if they aren't, you have to deviate. Otherwise, at the end of 3 days, you're going to have 6 fish. I mean, it just, you got to go where the fish are. It's still fishing. And, yeah, so to your point, you do have to be versatile. And there are fish going up and down the river. But there again, you know what? Sometimes you're going in 7 feet of water. Sometimes they're in a hole in 20 feet of water. Sometimes it's a current break. You just got to go fishing. And like anything else, you know what? Don't die by hanging out and waiting for those fish to come. If you have no idea if they're going to come, move around, go find those fish.
Well, you know, they're there somewhere. You just got to find them. And all those fish in the river should mean pretty good early ice. I'm guessing when ice fishing begins up there in Lake of the Woods, Joan, if people want to start planning their, maybe they want to go up and fish the Rainy right now, or if they want to get up there and do some ice fishing this winter, where can they go to find out more info?
You can either check out our Facebook page. It's Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, you know, check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right. Thanks to Lake of the Woods Tourism, Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, Prairie Sportsman, and Fond du Lac Sturgeon Spectacular. You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.